Yeah, did y'all see his face, how nasty it looked? God. No, it was nasty. He showed up at my house on Sunday morning. His face was all disfigured. And yeah. Yo, guys, so, whoa, hello. Awesome. Hey, so a few quick announcements, guys, Pastor Sam gave an announcement a little bit ago about something called CORE. Where are all my CORE guys out in the room? So we have this awesome discipleship program. If I can get this down a little bit, guys. This awesome discipleship program called CORE. And it's for our student leaders, people who say, listen, I just don't want to serve. But, man, I really have a desire to go deeper in God. And we do a ton of fun stuff. Like, man, we go to Wet n Wild. We go to Dave and Buster's. We are probably going on a missions trip next year. So we do a whole bunch of awesome, fun stuff with these guys who are a part of CORE. But the main thing is saying, man, God, I really want to go deeper. You know, God, I don't just want to stay on the surface level, but I know that there's more that you have for me. And so I want to go deeper. Man, I want to get intentional in my discipleship process. So if you are interested in being a part of CORE, after service, you can go see Miss Belinda at the desk outside. And the last announcement is, how many of you guys like Friday Night at the Ark?
Yes.
Isn't that so much fun? Man, I love Friday Night at the Ark. So our next Friday Night at the Ark is on October 12th. I'm super excited. We are calling it our fall bash. We are, the plan, I should say, is to rent like the blow-up inflatables, but like the fun ones, like the jousting one, the boxing one, the bungee run, and other awesome ones and stuff like that. And so, guys, it's going to be a ton of fun. Of course, there's always free pizza and all that fun stuff. And so that's on October 12th, so make sure that you guys do not miss it. Sound good? Awesome. If you are in sixth grade, you guys can go ahead and stand on up and go with Carrie and Bernard outside. If you guys are in sixth grade, we love you guys. Somebody say bye, sixth grade. There's so many sixth graders. Oh, my goodness. Can we just close our eyes, guys? Can we just close our eyes? And let's just really set our focus on Him. You know, I love it is that we don't have to wait till the altar call to encounter Jesus tonight. Because I believe He's already here, man. I believe He's already walking down aisles and walking in between rows tonight. Just touching hearts. You know, I love it. In prayer this afternoon, Hunter, God gave a picture to Hunter of him coming up and him grabbing hearts. And when he grabbed hearts, is that all of a sudden they lit up like the sun. I just love that. Jesus, tonight, would you grab our hearts? Would you grab our hearts, Holy Spirit? Would you grab our hearts? Come on, we need you, Jesus. We set our focus on you. We set our attention on you, Jesus. God, we give everything tonight to you. We don't want to leave this place the same. We don't want to leave this place the same. We need you. We need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. Come on, just in your own hearts. Can you just begin to just find that spot where you need Him? Come on, find that spot where you need Him tonight. Ah, Jesus. Jesus. God, we love you. We bless you. Come and mess us up tonight. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Is everyone doing good?
Yeah.
I'm doing good. Man, I'm excited. Who's excited to be back at church tonight?
Woo!
I'm so excited. My message is not loading on my iPad, so I'm going to try to preach this from my phone. This is going to be fun. Awesome stuff. So tonight, I want to start a brand new series called Unusual Kindness. Somebody say unusual. Come on, somebody say unusual. Kindness. How many of you guys ever met someone who was really nice before? Come on, they were like super, super nice. right? How many of you guys met someone who's super nice? How many of you guys met somebody who's like smile just like lit up your world, right? They just smiled and you're like, oh my goodness. Yeah, my wife's smile lights up my world. What's up, girl?
All right.
But how many guys were at camp? You guys were at camp, right? How many of you guys remember the last night of camp? Last night of camp. Wasn't the last night of camp like legit, right? I love it because Pastor Israel gave a prophetic message the last night of camp concerning this subject of unusual kindness. And it's so powerful to me because he spoke on this verse in Matthew, Acts chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. If we could go ahead and throw that up there. It says, now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. Somebody say Malta.
Malta.
And the natives showed us unusual, somebody say unusual.
Unusual.
Somebody say unusual.
Unusual.
Kindness. For they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because it was cold. Now, to kind of give some background to the story, right? So Paul is a prisoner on this ship being taken to Rome. And basically, God speaks to Paul and tells him to tell the captain of the ship. And basically said, do not sail, because if you sail, the ship will get shipwrecked. And so the Bible says that the captain and the soldiers did not listen to Paul. And so they set sail anyways. And on their way to Rome, they encountered what the Bible calls a nor'easter. Or like a typhoon, right? Is that we just got out of Hurricane Florence, which was like a tropical one storm, right? Right? Like when you look at typhoons and nor'easters, like these are tropical five storms. Okay, tropical five storms, right? Is that the wind blows up to like 150, 170 miles an hour. Something crazy like that. All right, so like this was no small storm, let alone you're at sea, right? So all the wind and all the waves, and all the water is just being blown at you. And the Bible says is that the ship gets shipwrecked. I got to be careful saying that word. It gets shipwrecked. All right. And they find themselves on this island called Malta. Somebody say Malta.
Malta.
Somebody say Malta.
Malta.
Now the prophetic word that was spoken over us. Over us as a youth ministry, there were three things. Is that the first one is that we are entering a new season. Somebody say new season.
New season.
Somebody say new season. And that we're called to be a Malta. Somebody say Malta.
Malta.
The second thing is that we are called to be a ministry of unusual kindness. I love that. Of unusual kindness. And lastly, when you read on the story, you read about miracles, is that we will see multiple miracles happen, not only in this house, but men in our youth ministry. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, how many of you guys think that sounds awesome? Right? Come on. How many of you guys want to see miracles? Come on, how many of you guys want to be a ministry of unusual kindness? Right? To me, that sounds absolutely awesome and amazing. So, starting off with number one, what in the world does it mean to be a Malta? Right. What in the world does it mean to be a Malta? It means something more than kind. But so I was researching this word, a Malta, and what the word actually means. In fact, that's later on. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself here. So Paul shipwrecks on this island called Malta. And what happens is that this island becomes a refuge for Paul, the sailors, the soldiers, and everyone that was there. Right, so I believe that one of the words that God is speaking about this youth ministry is that we're called to be a refuge. We're called to be a refuge. And what does the word refuge actually mean? It means this. It means a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. Now, years ago, there was this guy named Philip Cameron. How many of you guys remember Philip Cameron? A few of you guys? You guys, well, no one does. It's okay, I'll tell you the story. So Philip Cameron had this ministry where he would rescue girls out of sex trafficking in this nation called Moldova. Super powerful ministry. Probably the first sermon he preached there was one of the most powerful messages that I have ever heard in my life still to this day. It's super powerful. But there was a point where he spoke in his message, and he spoke about the youth room here for us. And he told Pastor Al, he said, Pastor Al, you need to call the youth room the Ark because it's called to preserve a generation. You need to call the youth room the Ark because it's called to preserve a generation. See, we're called to be a group, man, that preserves a generation. Is that, man, we're called to be a people who are a refuge. Listen, these walls are awesome and these walls are great, but guess what? You are the church. You are the church. So listen, this building isn't just called to be a refuge. Guess what? You're called to be a refuge. You are. Throw that definition back up there for me, guys. Is that you're called to be a condition, or you're called to be a safe place. Man, you're called to be a place of shelter. Man, where somebody who is in who is experiencing pursuit, danger, and trouble, is that they can come in this place and they can sit back in the Father's love, just like we were singing. This isn't supposed to be a house of contention. This isn't supposed to be a house of envy. Man, this isn't supposed to be a house of broken relationships. This is supposed to be a healthy house. This is supposed to be a house where people come and they find healing and they find wholeness. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And are you guys awake tonight?
Yeah.
You guys awake tonight?
Yeah.
And I love it because the word Malta actually means honey. How many of you guys love honey? You guys love honey. I am a recently converted honey lover. I love honey. It's so delicious. I mean, how many of you guys like honey nut Cheerios?
Yeah.
Rocking some Cheerios. Right? How many of you guys have ever had the plain Cheerios with no sugar or no honey on them?
Yeah.
Right? What do they taste like? Cardboard. They're awful. Right? They're awful. Is that Cheerios without honey is pure trash. All right? It's pure trash. You probably like brand cereal, don't you? Probably like brand cereal. I'm going over here. You disgust me. All right, but listen. When people walk in this room, is that, man, when people come in and they encounter you, what are they tasting? Come on. Come on, listen, man, it's my desire, man, that people walk in and they taste something sweet. You know, is that what does sugar do? Man, it says, man, I want to go back for more, right? Right. That's why in all these candies, what do? Is that they load them up with sugar so you won't just buy one Snickers bar, but you'll buy two Snickers bars. Maybe you'll buy three Snickers bars. Right? Why? Because you have the sugar and you go, man, I got to have another one. Right? Right? It's dangerous. It's addicting. It got me fat for a little bit, y'all. What? Eat the kale. Kale is awful. Like, listen. Which would you rather have, a Snickers bar or kale?
Kale.
If you say kale, you are a liar. I'm calling you out. Hey, but listen. Bring it back in. Listen, people should walk in this place and taste the Jesus, man, that's in this room. Taste the Jesus that's on your life, man. Taste of the goodness and the kindness of God and say, man, I gotta have more. Is it, man, I want to come back for more. Listen, man, I don't know what it is about that house. Man, I don't know what it is about that place. But, man, I tasted of something that I cannot get enough of. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, how many of you guys want your life to be sweet like honey? I want my life to be sweet like honey. And so not only did Paul find a place of refuge, but he found a people in that place of refuge who were unusually kind. Don't you love that description? Is that they were unusually kind. See, listen, not only, I believe, is God making this place a refuge, man, for people who have been shipwrecked in life. Man, for people who just, man, the devil is just on an onslaught. Man, is that they're mentally being tortured? Is that, man, their life is in shambles and in shackles? But they're going to walk in this place and they're going to find a people who are unusually kind to them. Like, what if this is the only place where they ever receive a compliment? What if this is the only place where they're ever loved? What if this is the only place where they're ever accepted? Because, man, they go home, they get cussed out. Man, they go to school, everyone hates them, and they're just contemplating suicide because they go, man, is my life even worth living? But then they walk in this room, and they meet you. They walk in this room, and they taste of the Jesus that's on the inside of you. They taste of that sweet thing. Somebody say unusually.
Unusually.
Somebody say unusually.
Unusually.
Kind.
Kind.
So kindness, the definition of kindness is this. This is a pull from a couple of different verses, just looking up different words. I know it's lengthy, but just hang in there with me. It means love towards man. Having a tendency to do good to others. Acts of kindness, readiness to help, hospitality, human friendship, taking thought of others, goodness in action, sweetness of disposition, and gentleness in dealing with others. You know, and just to kind of show you what kindness is not, I put down the antonyms of what kindness is. Antonyms is like the opposite of what a word is. And so it's animosity. It's hatred. It's ill will. It's being mean. It's being merciless. It's being selfish. It's being cruel. It's being hard, and it's being harsh, and it's being thoughtless. Now, can you throw up the first definition up there for me, guys? Now, we got to make a decision. Will we be a place, man, that when people walk in, no matter who they are, no matter what their background is, man, is that they walk in and they feel love? I mean, that they walk in and they find a group of people who have a tendency to do good towards them. Is that they walk in, man, and they find people who want to become friends with them. Man, people who are taking thought of them before themselves. Are they walking in and finding a people who are willing to be goodness in action? Sweetness of disposition. Gentleness in dealing with others. Now throw up the antonyms for me, guys. Or will we be a place of animosity? Will we be a place where there's hatred and gossip going around and slander going around? Will we be a place, man, where people are mean? Listen, I'm not just talking about in the room, but outside the room too. Will we be a place, man, where there's no mercy? Man, where there's no forgiveness? Man, where love doesn't cover the fault of another? The faults of another? Will we be a place of selfishness, of cruelty, of harshness, and thoughtlessness? Come on, who will we be? That's the question tonight. So from the definition of kindness, I summed up, man, what kindness is. I said that there's three attributes to what biblical kindness actually is. And so the first attribute of kindness is this, is that kindness is rooted in love. Somebody say love.
Love.
Somebody say love.
Love.
I love it because the word itself, the word kindness itself, it means a love for mankind. Is that the same word that's used in Acts 28 is the same word that's used to describe God's loving kindness towards us in Titus 3, 4 through 6. It says, but when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love. Is anybody happy that God revealed his kindness and his love towards you?
Yeah.
Right, man, I'm so happy. He saved us. Not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Come on, God's kindness is rooted in love. And actually what I love about God, and what I love about the love of God, and the kindness of God, is that rarely when you ever hear kindness spoken about God, you never see it without the word love. Catch this. You never see the word kindness about God. Like you never just hear the Bible say, oh, well, God's a really kind God. No. You always hear it talked about, man, like the loving kindness of God. The loving kindness of God is this. Oh man, God, your loving kindness is better than life. Oh God, man, I couldn't imagine my life without your loving kindness. Why? Because the root of kindness is love. Did you know kindness is more than just being nice? Hear me, please hear me. Is that kindness is more than just tolerating the people around you. I remember there was this person that I was having a really hard time dealing with, a really hard time coping with, and I was just trying to tolerate them. And I remember the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Josh, you can either tolerate them or love them, but you can't do both. Did you know God just doesn't tolerate you? Is anybody glad about that? Like, God just doesn't tolerate you? No, he loves you. See, because when you tolerate somebody, it's like you just try to keep it together as long as they're around. But man, when they leave, it's like, oh, thank God they're gone. Right? It's like you're counting down the seconds till that person walks out of the room. Man, but when you love that person, it's completely different. You see, I love the Hebrew word for loving kindness in the Old Testament describing God. It's the word hasid. So somebody say hasid. And it means this. It means a zealous love towards someone. Catch this. A zealous love towards someone. It means to act kindly towards somebody. You know, David said this in Psalm 63, verse 3. He says, because of your loving kindness, or because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. See, I love this word, loving kindness, but because, man, it talks about a passionate love. It doesn't just talk about the toleration, but, man, it talks about a love that is passionate about someone. Now, come on, can we take like the boyfriend-girlfriend mentality tonight and just throw it aside and think with like the love of God? Am I passionate about those around me? Do I have a passionate love for the person sitting next to me? See, let me read you this definition. In other words, for his seed are mercy, loyal love, goodness, steadfast love, covenant love. Is that his seed speaks of a love that is passionate about the object of its affection. And it says, I will be there for you every single day. Every single day I am for you. I will hold you in the front of my mind. And I will seek ways to act on your good every day. Or for your good every day. Isn't that amazing? Listen, this is God's love towards you. Like, hear this from God. This is God speaking this to you. He says, I will be there for you every single day. Every single day I am for you. I will hold you in the front of my mind. I will seek ways to act for your good every day. Did you know that God is looking for ways to bless you every day? Isn't that awesome? Like, God is looking for ways, man, to act on your behalf. Well, okay, I'm going to talk over here. Hey, Wall, did you know that God is looking to do you good every day? Guys, God wants to bless you. God wants to do you good. God is not looking to harm you. Man, God is not out to get you. God is not mad at you. God, every single day, is that you are on the front of his mind, and he says, how can I do them good today? Isn't that amazing? That's why David said, God, your loving kindness is better than life. Wow, God, your hasid is better than life. God, you said you're there for me every single day, and every single day you will always be here. There's not one day that you're going to miss. Man, there's not one moment that you're going to look. There's not one instance that you're going to turn your head at. But you are looking for my good every single day. I love that. So good. Preach it, Josh. Amen. Thank you. Listen, kindness starts and ends with God's heart for people. So if we're going to be a ministry of unusual kindness, I mean, we got to have God's heart for people. You know, I think it's so funny. You know, I meet some Christians, and they're like, I just don't like people. I just don't like people. Are annoying and they're frustrating. Ugh. Right? I hear it all the time. But listen, can I let you know this? Is that the Bible says that God has shed abroad His love in your heart. So that means this way, if you don't like people, that's okay, but you got to submit to His love. And when you submit to His love, I promise you, you're going to start loving people. You're going to start seeing them differently. Man, all of a sudden, your heart is going to start breaking for them. Man, you're going to start being merciful towards people. Man, you're going to start treating your brother and sister better. Come on. Listen. I believe in miracles, y'all. Come on. I believe in miracles. My God is still alive. Listen, you're going to stop yelling at your parents. Woo! Listen, when that person makes you mad and they talk about you, instead of retaliating back, man, you're just going to love them. Or they say, I'm so bad at like making fun of people. I'm like, when they say you're dumb, people don't even say that. But you're just going to be like, bro, I love you. Like, you're an idiot. I love you. I hate you. I love you. You know, like the Bible says this in Romans, I believe it's 5:8. It says, when we were enemies of God, when we were still enemies of God, man, that God sent His own Son to still die for us. Is God still showed us His love, even when we were His enemies. Man, that's what God's love does. It knows no bounds, man, it knows no boundaries. Come on, bro. Yes. Come on, somebody give it up for Christian. That is awesome. All right, attribute number two here. Attribute number two is that kindness moves. Kindness moves. Listen, I'm going to read to you a portion of that definition again. It says, kindness is having a tendency to do good. Do good to others. To acts of kindness. Readiness to help. Hospitality. Goodness in action. Goodness in action. Listen, kindness is just love in action. Hear me, kindness is just love in action. Because how many of you guys know is that love is not a noun, love is a verb. Love is a verb. Listen, I cannot say I love you and never act kindly towards you. How many of you guys know that's what you call a fake, man? That's what you call a hypocrite. Right? Man, if I told my wife, if I said, baby, boo, sweet thing, my Malta. Listen, if I said, baby, I love you with all of my heart, I give my all to you or whatever, and I just tell my wife how much I love her, but all that mushy stuff. I can't with y'all tonight. All that mushy stuff. But I never take her out on a date. I never do anything romantic for her, right? I tell her that I love her like once a year. Somebody says she's going to leave you. Can't even handle you. All right, focus, right? Right? Listen. But listen, my mouth says I love you, but my actions say I don't care for you. Right? If I walk in the door and she's like, how's your day? I'm like, oh, shut up. Don't even talk to me today. Right? Does that sound like love? Somebody say no. Why? Because love requires action, right? Right? Man, I got 3 minutes left. Come on. It's not even fair. All right, last attribute is this, is that kindness thinks of itself last or less. Kindness thinks of itself less, or you could put last there. Like, what I love about the love of God, and even what I love about that word hesed, is that it means, man, to keep someone in the forefront of your mind, which means if someone else is in the forefront of my mind, that means that I'm not there. That means that I'm not just thinking about, man, what can benefit me? Man, what's for my good? Did you know that God always thinks about you before he thinks about himself? How awesome is that? Never once has God put himself before you. So that's a good thought. I just said it. Wow, that's really good. That's powerful, y'all. Never once. Never once, man. Never once. And so, in closing here, is that I love that the Bible says is that these people weren't just kind, but they were unusually kind. And can we throw up the word unusual for me, guys? It means this. It means remarkable or interesting because it's different from, or it's better than others. Can I say, man, that our love should be better than others because it's rooted in a better love? Yeah. I mean that our love should be different than others because it's rooted in a different love?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's that no one in the world should outlove me. Because why? I got the God who is love living in me. Right? Man, there should be something different about my love, and there should be something different about my kindness. Why? Because it's rooted in God's love. Get it, Albert. I didn't see him. But no, so man, in closing, so, I mean, I was just thinking about really kind people that I've met before. And every single time that I meet somebody, man, who walks in this revelation of just the loving kindness of God, like every single time I'm done meeting with them, like I walk away like astounded and in awe and going like, Jesus, I felt like I just met you. Like, Jesus, I felt like I just met you. Like, for instance, I remember me and my wife is that we were in Raleigh and we were driving back from an immigration appointment. And on the highway, all of a sudden, like, her car, like, it loses all power. And it starts, like, shaking, right? And I'm like, oh, this is not good, right? This is the highway, man. So I find the first exit I can, right? And I peel off, and I had to go to the bathroom really bad, too. So the first thing I did, man, is I found a hotel, right? And so I went to the hotel, I went to the bathroom, I came out, and then I hopped back in the car, and her car shut up. I was like, okay, cool, we are headed back home. And so we start driving, and 2 minutes later, like, I'm trying to hop on the highway. I think we're in Cary. And my car starts shaking, and so I pull off into this neighborhood, and my car stops right in front of this house, like literally right in front of this house. And I remember, like, I'm freaking out, like, man, God, like, what do I do? Like, my car's not working. Like, I don't have money. It is the end of the month to get this car towed back. You know what I mean? Like, y'all, the end of the month, your faith gets stretched. Listen, when you get older, okay? Like, Jesus provide. And I remember, man, this sweet lady came out, and she's like, is everything okay? And I was like, I'm so sorry, our car broke down in front of your house, and I just don't know what to do. And her name was Trisha Buxton, and she says, oh wow. She says, what do you do? I said, I'm a youth pastor. She says, really? I said, yeah. She says, I'm a missionary. I was like, what? I was like, okay, Jesus, you're doing something here. He says, yeah, I'm a missionary. Is that me and my husband are missionaries, and my husband is actually a mechanic. Right? Is that my husband is a mechanic. And so, kind of talking back and forth with these guys and making some different moves, just trying to figure out what to do exactly. I remember she said, so we need you, is that we'll tow you back all the way to Fayetteville. We'll drive you, a complete stranger, all the way back to Fayetteville. I mean, that we don't even know, but you need to cover the cost of gas. And it was going to be like $300 because of the huge truck that he would have to bring the car back on. And said, okay, man, I don't got it, but Jesus, let's just do it, right? And so I remember we called him and we set them up, and her husband came and got the car. And her husband said, listen, on the way over here, God told me not to charge you a dime. And I remember just walking away from that moment, from that situation, man, just like looking at my wife going like, did we just meet angels? I mean, like, seriously, like having that thought, like, God, are these angels in disguise? We just happened to land in front of a missionary's house who was a mechanic. Oh, yeah, let me tell you this. Who got his towing truck fixed because it was broken. He got his towing truck fixed like 3 days before we landed in front of their house. Right? Like, just crazy God story. I mean, I just remembering, I remember me and my wife, we got to go see Heidi Baker at a tent meeting, and Heidi Baker got to pray for my wife, and we just met some really awesome people. And I just remember walking away from all these moments going like, man, Jesus, I feel like I just met you. Like, I feel like I just saw a side of you that I did not know. And I was thinking, I was like, God, I want to be a youth ministry and where people walk in and they meet you and they walk away and they go, man, I feel like I just met Jesus. I feel like I just had an encounter with God. Man, I walked in broken. I walked in shipwrecked. Man, I walked in not knowing where to go. Man, I walked in, man, not knowing what my next step was. Man, I walked in not knowing if I was going to make it through tonight because I planned on ending my life. But man, because I walked in that room, man, and I tasted something sweet, and his name is Jesus. You know what I love about this story? Is that the Bible says is that when they landed ashore, is that the natives had already made a fire for them. Is that here the natives are on shore. And they see the shipwreck happening. They see these dozens of men, man, just swimming for their lives in the middle of this intense storm, right? In the middle of this intense, just cold, rainy weather. And so they built them a fire. And it was a fire that brought them there. I mean, I believe it's going to be at the fire of God, y'all guys. That's going to draw people here. And that's going to bring them here is that they're going to hear about what God is doing at 420 Dunn Road in this building called the Ark. What a strange name for a youth building. But because God is preserving a generation, because God is making a refuge. So with every head down and every eye closed tonight, man, I feel like we're supposed to do a few things in this place. Man, I just feel like, let me ask this question first. You know, we were talking about the loving kindness of God. Man, God showed his loving kindness to you. He revealed it to you when he sent Jesus to come and die for you. What an amazing, awesome truth. Jesus came and died for you, man. He died for you, not just the person next to you. Tonight, make it personal. Jesus died for you. Why? Because he's so in love with you. He's so in love with you. The Bible says that Jesus had to come and die because we were all born separated from God, and because of this dumb thing called sin. And this thing called sin, man, is that it sends us to hell. And without Jesus, man, without accepting Jesus as the Lord and the Savior of our life, the Bible says, man, that when we die, that we end up in a place called hell. It's eternal separation from God forever in eternal fire. The Bible talks about worms eating your flesh for an eternity there. I'm not trying to scare you, man. I'm just trying to tell you the truth because I love you. So Jesus came to save you from that fate, and he came to rescue you into a relationship with God, a relationship with himself, because Jesus is God. Man, so I got to ask, in this place, if you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, listen, I'm not asking if you grew up in church, and I'm not asking if one time you said a prayer. I'm asking, do you have a relationship, a real relationship with Jesus Christ? Is he the Lord? Is he the master of your life? Have you given your heart to him? Listen, you know, in fact, I read a quote the other day. It says that Jesus didn't ask for your heart, he asked for your life. Does your life belong to Jesus? If that answer is no, on the count of three, and you want to change that, and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hands. 1, 2, 3. Is there anybody in the room tonight? Thank you, I see your hand. Is there anybody else in the room tonight? Awesome if we could all say this prayer with me. I want you to say, God, thank you for showing me your loving kindness through Jesus. Thank you for sending your son to come and die for me. Right now, I accept the free gift of salvation. I ask for forgiveness of all of my sins. And Jesus, I make you the Lord and the Master of my life. I believe that you came to earth and that you died. And 3 days later, you rose again. And so I surrender all of my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, so, yeah, we can celebrate that afterwards just because of time. With every head down, every eye closed again in this place, man, if you believe, or if you want to be, man, that person where people come in and they encounter you and they walk away just going like, man, I feel like I just encountered Jesus. Because of the love that you walk in and because of the kindness that you walk in, man, that you want to commit yourself to be a person of unusual kindness in this place. I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Is there anybody in this place that says, man, I want to be a person of unusual kindness? If that's you, I want you to stand up for me. I want you to stand up for me if that's you. Come on, you say, man, I want people, when people encounter me, I want them to encounter the love and the kindness of God. And I don't care how long you're saved. Come on, even if you just say, man, I want to walk in a deeper revelation of that. I want to walk in a deeper revelation of that. Jesus. Can we just lift our hands to God? Father, you've spoken about this house prophetically. And God, you said in your word that you've called us to be a people of unusual kindness. God, let us be a people, God, that when they encounter us, they encounter you. God, that we will realize that we are a walking encounter, God, of the love of God, that we are a walking encounter of the kindness of God. God, let there be something different about us, God. God, let there be something Malta about us, God. May God, let there be something sweet about us, God. Jesus, that they would taste of your sweetness through us, God. Jesus, would you do it, God? Give us the revelation of your love. Give us the revelation of your love, God. God, show us how much we're loved so that we can love others, God. God, show us the height, God, the width, God, the depth, God, the breadth of your love, Jesus. God, would you kick down every lie that says we're not loved? Would you kick down every lie, man, that says that you don't accept us, that you don't love us, man, that we're not worth anything, God. God, let us realize how much we're loved so that we can turn around and be love in action to those around us. Jesus, show us God. Show us God. Show us God. God, show us God. Show us how to love like you love. Come on, can you just pray that? Come on, out of your own mouth. And you just say, God, show me how to love like you love. Come on, show me how to love like you love. Come on, I want to be love in action. I want my life to be love in action. Show me how to love like you love. God, that's our prayer tonight, God. Show us how to love like you love, God. When people encounter us, let them encounter your face, God. When people encounter us, God, let them encounter your smile, God. God, we don't want to be mean Christians, God. God, we don't want to be mean Christians, God. We want to be people, God, who reflect your smile in the earth. God, would you grab our hearts and light them up like the sun, Jesus? Would you grab our hearts, God, and light them up like the sun? Man, I just feel the need to pray for one more thing. And it really kind of has, honestly, nothing to do with the message. I just felt this in pre-service prayer. Is that, man, is the Bible talks about being continually filled. There's not just one infilling. The Bible talks about how there are going to be multiple continual infillings all throughout your life of the Holy Spirit. And I just feel like there are some people in this room, man, that need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Man, maybe you're feeling dry. Maybe you're feeling weary. Maybe you're feeling worn out just from the world. Maybe school is just wearing you down. Maybe college is just tough. It's hard. And you just need that fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, I want you to come down to the altar and to get prayer. Listen, I know that may not be everybody. If that's you, man, you just want that fresh touch. If I could have my leaders go ahead and come on down and start praying for these guys. Come on, if you just want that fresh touch tonight. For the rest of you guys, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to dismiss you guys, and I ask that you kind of go out there in the lobby and hang out, man, as these guys are getting prayer. Father, tonight we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that we're going to be a ministry, God, of unusual kindness, God. Of unusual kindness, God. That there be something different about our love, God. That there be something better about our love because it's rooted in who you are. Thank you, Father. Oh, God. We just submit to your love in this place, God. Let us be a refuge. Let us be a refuge, Father. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I ask that you guys would go out there in the lobby and hang out as these guys are getting prayer. Come on, if you want a fresh touch from God tonight, I encourage you to get down here and to get prayer.